Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught another Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball,
and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
Well, the Giants don't make it easy, but a win is a win. 29-24 after last weekend's tough heartbreaker for the Redskins, but a good one for the Giants as the Giants held on with that victory. They follow up, blow a 23-0 lead, come back, get a 5-point advantage at the very end, and hold off the Cowboys. Boy, what a wild finish as Dez Bryant makes that grab. His hand was clearly out of bounds first, so they overturned that touchdown call. And then Dallas had one or two last chances there at the end, and the Giants' defense got in position to knock the ball away, and it all adds up to a Giants victory. So they split the season series, the two teams, and the Giants now improved to 6-2. The Cowboys fall to 3-4. So the Giants right now in somewhat of a comfort zone when it comes to the division, because they're 6-2. The Eagles and the Cowboys are both 3-4, and the Redskins are 3-5. And the Giants have two more games before their bye. They will play the Steelers next weekend at MetLife Stadium. They will play the Bengals on the road, and then week 11 they'll have off, and they'll get set for the stretch run. So certainly a nice position to be in if you're the New York Giants in front of the division. You even your record also at 2-2 within the division. I think that was a big bonus. But some concerns definitely coming out of this victory. Number one, a couple of more injuries that took place throughout this contest. You had Chase Blackburn shaken up earlier in the game due to a hamstring injury. You have Keith Rivers with the strained calf, and then Antrell Roll was also shaken up towards the latter part of the contest. We're awaiting some updates on those various injuries. As soon as we know that info, we will pass it along to you, but a lot of key defensive players that went down during the course of the final few minutes, and looking forward, the last thing you need is to lose more players on defense when they already have dealt with their fair share of injuries. Canty has certainly been a bright spot since he returned last week in terms of stopping the run and also making his presence felt in terms of the pressure package. Canty today had one sack. You had Linville Joseph with two, and Jason Pierre-Paul had one. Remember, he also had a touchdown return off an interception. So, you know, the pressure is starting to build little by little each and every game, and towards the end, it was key in terms of getting Romo out of the pocket, making it a little bit more difficult for him to throw the ball down the field. And earlier in the game, I think they made it very hard on Tony Romo. It wasn't necessarily the pressure. At times, the breakdowns in the Giants' defense clearly came in the secondary, as Romo had a field day hooking up with Jason Witten. 18 catches for 167 yards. You had Austin 9 for 133, and Dez Bryant finished with 5 for 110. Those three did plenty of damage. Romo did turn over the ball four times with those four picks, but he threw for 437 yards, and he did have the touchdown through the air and on the ground, but the turnovers in the end were the big difference maker because Dallas had six. Two fumbles, four interceptions, and the Giants were able to put points on the board on those turnovers. That was also a big difference maker. They'll tell you they would have rather had touchdowns than field goals, but you know what? The fact that they're putting points on the board gave them an opportunity to build more of a cushion, and they didn't look back. And when it got tough, and when that 23-point lead slowly dissipated, they still finally made the plays down the stretch that they needed. And I understand some Giants fans are probably not going to say that this was the prettiest win. It wasn't the best win, but you know what? At the end of the day, and you hear this cliche a lot in football, a win is a win. They do not get additional points in the standings for the victory. It will go down as their sixth win. Not many people are going to remember that they had a 23-0 lead and they let that slip away. Unless you are like an encyclopedia and you can memorize each and every Giants victory. But it's such a huge victory just from a momentum standpoint, regardless of how they squeaked it out. Because as I mentioned, you get a division win, number one. You split the season series with a team that probably will still be in the mix for a playoff hunt, despite the fact that they're one game below 500. And, you know, your next two opponents are AFC opponents. And AFC games are not nearly as important as NFC games. You can afford to lose an AFC game. Not that they want to do that. The reason I'm saying is it doesn't hurt you in a tiebreaker situation if you lose to the Steelers or you lose to the Bengals. So worst case scenario, even if the Giants split heading into the bye, that is still a very strong position to be in because of the advantage they have in the loss column. They are two ahead of their next closest divisional opponents in the loss column. And they're three ahead of the Redskins. And the Cowboys have no more meetings with the Giants moving forward. They're still going to have to play the Eagles and the Redskins. But the last thing you want to do is lose two games to an opponent that you very well will be jockeying for position to win the division down the stretch. And fortunately for the Giants, they were able to split the season series, which is going to be big, especially when you get to the final few weeks, because you truly don't know the implications at stake in a game like this when it comes to tiebreakers way too early. All right, Tom Coughlin has come to the podium. We're going to hear from him. We're going to hear player reaction, and then we'll come back to take your phone calls. Here's the head coach.
I'm sure there aren't very many numbers, but we're happy to win and happy now to be on our way home.
Let's talk about the relief when the replay overturned that Bryant catch at the end.
Yeah, it was reported down to me right away that that's what had happened, that the hand was out of bounds, and it was just a matter of the official having the necessary time to go ahead and make that call. But I must say that it's been a long time since I saw three plays in 10 seconds. That was an incredible thing that had happened right there. I mean, we thought it was over with the high ball over the middle, and I looked up and the thing was stuck on one.
Think it was a hometown?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's a heck of a long time. 10 seconds, three plays from the ball was started over the 40-yard line. So.
Do you think Ahmad had
the
first down on that third down run?
No.
How do you guys go up big and they come all the way back? How do you guys end up keeping it together?
Well, we have good leadership. We have good people. We come in at the half and talk about, being positive, changing the momentum, going back out there. Of course, we talked about that when we kicked off. They drove and scored. So, but we're fighters. We're fighters in the locker room. We've been through a lot of big games. We hung in there very, very well. We have good leadership. Sometimes it comes out a little bit different than we would have liked to have it designed. And I'm talking about the way in which the game is played, the distribution, the run, the pass, the so on and so forth. But we're very pleased to leave here 6-2 and 2-2 in the division.
How's
Antrell? I think he was head hard on the ground, so we'll have to see.
Coach, how do you feel about where you are right now, 6-2, the momentum that's building?
Well, I'm not much of looking backwards. We're pleased to be 6-2. We know we have a huge game next week, and so we're so much. I haven't really had time to think about it, but 6-2 sounds a whole lot better than 5-3.
You said it's hard to describe this game. I mean, you guys were up 23-0 at one point. I mean, at the end, is there a sense that there was no control with your team the way you couldn't stop?
Well, that sense was a little bit in the second quarter. That wasn't, they had their way, but we had gotten a couple of stops there, big stops in the fourth quarter, and that gave me confidence. The interesting thing is, we've done the opposite and gone down and scored with 46 seconds one time. So the punt put the ball, out at the 30, and they came 70 yards, So it's kind of the way this series goes.
The coaches upstairs that told you that
yes.
The singers were out?
Yes.
In that moment before that,
how do you get behind everybody with that circumstance? How do you get behind people? Just what you would say if you're watching it on TV. How in the world does somebody in that defense get behind someone?
That's Giants head coach Tom Coughlin in the locker room. Chris Canty with us. Chris, is that one of the wildest games you've ever been a part of?
Yeah, that was a wild game. We knew any of these division games, when you go into them, it's going to be a four-quarter game. Feel like we fought and scratched and scraped, and at the end we still had to have a little bit of luck to be able to pull that one out. But I'm thankful that the ball bounced our way, and we were able to get out here with a win.
What is it about your team and your defense and your ability to get all those takeaways in the first half?
Well, obviously we know that going into this game, takeaways are at a premium. The more opportunities we can give our offense with the football, the better off we're going to be. They kept putting points on the board. We kept trying to take the ball away. And keep giving it back to them so they can keep doing that. Obviously, the Cowboys built some momentum going in there into the half and in the third quarter. But we were able to fight back and make enough plays to win.
On that final drive, the defensive line made the plays when they had to. You put the pressure on Romo, kept them out of the end zone.
Yeah, obviously. I keep saying obviously, but these are situations that we always talk about. The fourth quarter, especially when the game is in that kind of situation, we know as a defensive line, we've got to put pressure on the quarterback. We've got to get him down. That's when sacks are the most important. So we know we got to make sure we hit the quarterback and make it easier on our secondary.
Corrections here. Gave a lot of yards in the second half. Let the Cowboys get back into the game. What do you need to improve on for next week?
Oh, we definitely got to tighten up. We allowed them to fight back into the game. And we've got to work on being able to finish football games, finish football teams. When we've got them down, we've got to keep them down. We've got to put our foot on the gas and keep going. And today we let up, and it almost cost us.
Chris, congratulations. Thank you very much. That's Giants defensive lineman Chris Canty, John Schmelk, Bob Papa here in the New York Giants locker room. Giants with a big victory against the Dallas Cowboys. Giants go up 23-0 early, but the Giants managed to make a comeback here off that Cowboys run and end up beating Dallas Cowboys, holding out of the end zone on two possessions at the end of the game. So, obviously, a very big win for the New York Football Giants. We're going to listen in here as O.C. Manura addresses the New York media.
Yeah, we were able to force turnovers to give us a better chance to win the game. So, we focused on that during practice, and it's been able to help us win games.
What was your feeling when Brian caught that ball before it was overturned?
Sickness. I felt pretty sick. We fought hard. They fought hard too, though. They played a very good game, man. They showed a lot of heart, but in the end, we were able to come up with a victory.
It's weird to be at 23-0 and you almost feel relieved to escape with the win.
We made it closer than we were supposed to, but at the end of the day, man, we won, and that's all that counts.
Giants defensive lineman O.C. Manure, Bob Pappas with Eli Manning.
Yeah, the Eli Manning interview brought to you by Toyota, the official vehicle of the Giants. Wow.
Yeah,
that's the best way to say that one. Wow.
That's a good word. It was a lot of ups and downs and good things, and we lost it at one point and then won it again. So defense played outstanding. Offensively, we had some good things, but just had to settle for too many field goals and kept Dallas in the game, and they fought back, and they're talented, and their defense is talented, but great fourth quarter. Finally, offense had a couple of good drives to get back the lead, go up by one, and then get another field goal. So at least Dallas had to score a touchdown to win, and defense did a great job stopping on a couple times.
Did they change much from what you saw in week one?
No, not really. They didn't change much, and they challenged us to run the ball. They kept two safeties high. You have a couple throws that you can win, but it's a deal. We said if they don't do that, we're gonna have to run it and get them out of it. And they do a good job against the run. We didn't hit any big runs. On third down and stuff, they're kind of same deal. They're just playing. Thought they could get a good rush, just rushing three or four guys, and playing man with two safeties over the top, and they got a good job getting the rush. They're talented. I mean, they're good, and we just didn't quite make plays. Had some big plays, had some good things, but just settled for too many field goals.
Finally, what does it say about this team where you don't play as well as you normally do offensively, but you're still able to win a game like this?
Yeah, our defense played outstanding. I mean, they can do that. That's wonderful. Get that many turnovers. Offensively, we gotta help them out. We gotta make sure if they're getting those turnovers, we're getting great field position. We gotta get touchdowns, and we gotta. When there was an opening to try to get a huge lead, and we're up 23-0, but it could have been 35-0 or so. That we got to try to take advantage of that and try to end the game there and play better.
Thanks, Eli.
Thanks a lot.
All right, that's Eli Manning here in the Giants locker room as we send it back to John Schmelk.
I'm in the locker room, Stevie Brown. Let's listen in.
Again, are they going to try to test this deep? And we're prepared for both.
Stevie, how do you describe the emotions? You're 6-2 now in a division. Chris Canty just kind of felt like we escaped with one here. I mean, how do you balance?
It's a win. It's an NFL win. It's a win in the division. It's a win in the conference. Something like that. So,
your mind?
On the field, it looked like he came down out of bounds. So I was thinking he was – I was glad he was going to be able to be challenged because I didn't feel like he caught in bounds. I mean, it's just – that's just the motto around here, you know. If somebody goes down, you got to fill in, and you got to – you can't have a let-off, and that's how everybody thinks around here.
Steve, you take us through that first interception. What happened? How'd you make that play?
I was on the post. I was just reading Romo's eyes. And I can't remember if it was Dez coming from
Dez.
My right. Yeah. I think it was Dez coming from my right. I saw him kind of looking that way. And then when he let it go, I could see Dez breaking in, so I knew I had to jump in front of him to get it.
Was it a tough decision whether or not to go for the man or go for the ball?
Nah, ball. It was an easy one, ball all day.
Did it look like Dez kind of was a little bit lazy on his in cut? It was a post, but he looked like he was kind of a little bit not disciplined on the cut itself.
I mean, I don't know if it was lazy or whatever. Webb had pretty good coverage on him and everything like that, and I was just able to make a play on it.
How about the fumble recovery? What happened on that one, Stevie?
Coming downhill, Keith Rivers made a great play, was able to knock the blocker back into the ball carrier, and the ball carrier dropped it. I went down and tried to scoop it at first. I missed it, and then I just fell on it.
So where do you hide the magnets in your uniform during the game to come up with the balls all the time?
I mean, you know, it's just hustling. Coaches call the calls, and I just try to hustle the best I can. And, you know, if you're always hustling, something good happens.
Sigh of relief when they went under the hood and saw that Dez put his hand out of bounds?
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, we had another shot. Game wouldn't have been over, but, you know, they didn't go up. So we had another chance to go out there and stop him, keep him out the end zone.
As a safety, seeing a guy kind of get behind you in a situation like that, that's got to be a big no-no, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You always say keep everything in front of you. And in that situation, definitely keep everything in front and inside. So to see him running down deep like that wasn't a good feeling.
Stevie, thanks a lot, man. That's Stevie Brown, John Schmelk, Bob Papa here in the locker room. We're going to try to get one more guy before we wrap up. As you guys might imagine, we're trying to get on pretty quickly so we can actually land somewhere near New York City. Jason Pierre-Paul is addressing the media. We're going to try to listen in as he talks about the Giants' big win against the Dallas Cowboys.
It's probably as crushing a loss as the Cowboys could ever imagine, especially since they thought they won. Right. What's it feel like to come in here to this building and do that to them in front of their fans like that?
Every division game is going to be a tough one. You know what I mean? And just going out there, you know, that last pass before we thought it was over, you know, everybody thought it was over, but, you know, if you caught the ball or not, you know, they'll celebrate it. And, you know, all we could tell is just, you know, the referee going on the review booth and see what it was. When they called it, it was not a touchdown, they gave us another shot to go out there and just, you know, play hardball, you know, just get up the quarterback one more last time. And that's what we did.
I'm sure you asked this already, JPP. Can you take us to that interception and return for a touchdown? What was your responsibility to the play? What happened?
I was supposed to rush on that play, but I kind of was patient with my rush, and then I felt like he was going to throw it that way, so I just jumped up and, you know, I caught the ball and ran for a touchdown.
What's going through your head and what's the defense discussing while that lead is disappearing?
We've been in this situation before. You know, Coach Kaufman always preached, you know, fight, and finish. You know, one thing about us, we will never give up. No matter what's the score, it could be 6, 28. No matter 28-6, we never give up, and we just kept on fighting. That's what the Giants do.
That's Giants defensive lineman Jason Pierre-Paul. We are done in the locker room. We're going to try to get on a plane and get home, folks. Hope you guys braved the storm well.
All right, so that was coach and player reaction from Cowboys Stadium, as you heard from Tom Coughlin and a handful of players, including Chris Canty and Stevie Brown, as the Giants are able to hold off the Dallas Cowboys 29-24. They did lead at one point 23-0, but they were able to weather the storm and walk away with a victory. They improved to 4-0, by the way, at Cowboys Stadium. Since the new stadium opened, Eli Manning and company have had plenty of success. And it's funny, because the way this series has played out between the Giants and the Cowboys, the road team wins more often than not. The Cowboys have had more success at the Giants' home stadium, and then the Giants have had more success at Cowboys Stadium. It's quite interesting how this series has played out over the last couple of years, but the Giants will not complain if they have their continued success on the road, and right now they are enjoying another big victory. They will try to get home before Sandy wreaks havoc on the New York metropolitan area, so for those of you who are in the areas that will be impacted, we certainly wish that you stay safe over the next couple of days, but we're going to be taking your phone calls throughout the next couple of hours here. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can also follow me at Lance Meadow. And we open up the lines. We start with Ed in Maryland. Ed, what's happening?
Hey.
What you got, Ed?
It was a crazy great game. It was a wild game. I have a lot of things to talk about. I want to talk about Bradshaw. He really struggled this game. If we'd have ran the ball with Andre Brown, we'd have had a better run of game. Just being up 23-0 and then just watching them come back in the game, I knew it. Lawrence Tynes should be the MVP of the Giants because the whole season, I mean, he had, 25 field goals already. That's way ahead from the second kicker, though, in the whole league. Yeah, I mean, it's just really tough to watch these Giants games, but just glad we actually pulled out a win. The defense actually came through to gave a yards to Tony Romo, but we got, five turnovers or whatever, so.
Yeah, six turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough game, very intense, but I'm just kind of shocked how the Giants could, get five trips down the red zone and settle for short field goals. It's just really, it's heart-wrenching. I'll let you take from there, but it was a tough game to watch.
All right, Ed, appreciate the phone call, and you're right. I mean, clearly, if they would have capitalized with touchdowns off of some of those early turnovers, this game could have been a whole different story. And maybe, yes, even though they did give up 24 points, perhaps they would have been in the 30s by then, so it wouldn't have looked as bad. I mean, just to take you through some of these turnovers, you had the early field goal right from the start. Then Romo's intercepted by Stevie Brown, so the Giants settle for another field goal. Romo then, later in the contest, was plagued by turnovers. He had another one to Webster. This one they actually got in the end zone. Andre Brown ran in from a yard out. They had taken over on the 31. So three plays later, they got into a touchdown. So you have two interceptions, one field goal, one touchdown. And then it was just pretty much one field goal after the other, with the exception they were fortunate on the other Romo interception. His third one, JPP returned that for a touchdown. So the defense really bailed the offense out in a situation like that. But, after the Bradshaw fumble, which happened in the second quarter, I mean, the Giants' offense really struggled. So the offense, to me, did not carry this game. It was the defense. The defense had its issues late in the game, but you know what? The defense is a big reason why the Giants are walking out with a victory, because they made the game-changing type of plays. And the reason why you can't really walk away and give a lot of credit to the offense here, the Giants are up 23-10, and Bradshaw had fumbled the football. They weren't up 23-10, excuse me. It was still 23-0 here. Bradshaw fumbles the football, and then five straight possessions, you had four punts and an interception until finally they got another Tynes field goal. That's a lot of time that went by that they did not pad that lead, or they did not get many positive plays to help cushion the advantage, to not put themselves in a position where Dallas was slowly chipping away at the deficit and sooner than later had a one-point lead, 24-23. You have a 23-0 lead, you need to continue to be aggressive. You can't be careless. But that, to me, is where the running game comes in. And that's an area where the Giants probably walk away after this game saying they need to get better. They need to know how to go about closing out a game. And you can't feel content. And I don't think it had anything to do with the mental attitude of the team. I mean, they were out of sync somewhat in the passing game. The running game, I know Ed just called up and said that he wanted Andre Brown to get more carries. It was 22 carries for Bradshaw, just three for Brown. Wilson had two. Bradshaw had some decent runs if you actually look back at the game log. He had 10-yard runs, 5-yard runs. Yes, his yardage per carry wasn't there. And at times, his decision-making in terms of going with the blocking wasn't necessarily in sync. But, Bradshaw, if you look at the roster, to me, he's the most aggressive runner on this team. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Andre Brown. I think Brown is solid. they'd be better off if they get more of a split between the two because you tend to throw a defense off. But Bradshaw is your workhorse, and every team needs a workhorse. The fumble was costly because it really seemed to suck the momentum out of the team. But if you look back at the game log, there were numerous runs that Bradshaw had that, you know, they probably were looking as if maybe they weren't going to get much, and he picked up a key 5 yards, a key 10 yards, where they got some momentum to finally walk away with some of those late field goals. And Bradshaw was at the heart of those drives because they certainly weren't airing it out today. Randall had two key catches. Akeem Nicks wasn't a huge factor. Victor Cruz took that big hit from Gerald Sensabaugh, so we didn't see much of him in the second half. And Hixon had two third down catches where he was a yard or two away from getting the first down. So there was some miscommunications in terms of placement on the field, and miscommunications, and sometimes just Manning not being on the same page as his receivers, which was evident against the Redskins. That was a carryover, which is certainly something that they want to correct. The running game, they want to get back to the level where it was at against the Cleveland Browns and the Carolina Panthers and even the Niners. It's been a little bit inconsistent over the last couple of weeks. And you want to get healthy in the defense department. You hope maybe they're closer to getting Kenny Phillips back and Jaquan Williams, so that even with some of the additional injuries that they suffered today, they're gaining more of that depth chart back, and that will be determined as this week progresses when they get set for a physical team that they're going to play next Sunday in the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, you know, the defense set the tone early. It was hard for the defense to sustain. You can make the argument the offense didn't do enough today in the second half to take the pressure off of the defense in the second half. Your defense gives you a 23-0 lead. You figure your offense should do enough to add to that. And you know what? It has nothing to do with settling for field goals over touchdowns. I'm talking about that period of five drives where they had four punts and an interception. Even if you tack on a field goal on half of those possessions, that's another touchdown in essence. That's another 6 points. And this five-point lead all of a sudden is in double figures. So field goals can still do a lot for you. And I know Ed just touched on Lawrence Tynes being the MVP. You're right. I mean, he has been absolutely critical to this team because of his efficiency when it comes to field goals and his kickoffs. I mean, Tynes has come to the rescue more often than not. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We go to Drew in Virginia. Drew, what's happening?
Last man. I mean, sometimes you need a little bit of luck. In the last 2 weeks, we were very lucky to win the games. That's good. I feel like, at least we was in a position to win them games. But I got to tell you right now, I'm definitely not giving this defense. I mean, this defense forced some turnovers and everything. Don't get me wrong. But the way they played in the second half, I got to give them a D on that. I mean, I know there was some critical and crucial plays here and there, but overall, I got to give them a D. They just got passed all over. And our running game, we got to get that fixed. I mean, that's just pathetic. I think last week we had, 64 yards against Washington, and we had 78 this time. I mean, in this particular game right here, you see where we really needed that first down, because for a little bit of fingers, I guess, being out of bounds, this is a miracle game that we lose. So, but if we can run the ball, we're not in that predicament, even on that. So offensively, man, we just really, really look bad today. You got to credit Dallas's defense. But, for 2 weeks we couldn't get the running game going. And like I said, the defense just was, to me, was just was completely inconsistent. And, yeah, we got the turnovers and everything. And, yeah, we won the game. But I really can't say it was too much the defense did. I mean, yeah, we got the game, but one for that the hand out of bounds, we're looking at a completely different game. Because the Giants should have never, ever, ever been in that position. One, to be given Dallas the ball back, but two, to let the receiver get behind them to even catch that ball. So, that's how I look at it. But I'm glad we won. Sometimes, team needs a little bit of luck, and maybe it's the God smiling down on us or whatever. But we're not playing very well offensively. That's my assessment right there. My heart is still pounding. I turned the game off a couple of times, but we won, and I did get to see the end. So That's all I got to say, Lance.
All right, Drew.
On that.
I appreciate the phone call, and I'm sure a lot of Giants fans can relate to that sentiment. And what, you know, Drew just said, and it's funny because my producer, John Vasquez, told me right before we went on the air, you know, this game came down to a fingertip. And he's right, and so is Drew. You know, Dez Bryant maybe keeps his hand in bounds slightly or bends it back, and it doesn't hit out first. And then the side of his leg goes down first. I mean, this is a different outcome that we're talking about right now. So, you know, the Giants are very fortunate because Dez Bryant made a great catch. He got good position on the Giants' defense. They were caught off guard. And because of his fingertip being out of play, that touchdown was taken off the board. And the Giants' defense did have some breakdowns in the second half. It was a tale of two halves. I think that's the best way you can go about describing the production from the Giants' defense. The first half, they dominated, not necessarily by limiting the Cowboys' yardage, but just by forcing all of these turnovers and giving their offense gifts right around the red zone. I mean, it was one interception after the other. Stevie Brown right in the mix of it again. He had two of Tony Romo's four picks. JPP returns one for a touchdown. Corey Webster's involved. I mean, they were in the right place at the right time, and it was a complete domination. But then all of a sudden, the turnovers weren't coming up as often as they were. Dallas was gaining some momentum and success moving the ball, and the Giants' offense wasn't doing enough when they had the football back. And that seemed to carry over into the second half. The Giants' defense, to me, wasn't as aggressive in the second half as it was in the first half. And maybe that is just the mindset sometimes. You have a 23-0 lead. We're going to keep all of the players in front of us. We're not going to give up the big plays. They can have their little chunks of yardage, but at the end of the day, we're just going to make sure they don't get in the end zone. And you know what? That philosophy backfired on them because Witten was just gaining, yes, not huge chunks of yardage, but it was essentially a first down after another. And this gets back to why a running game is essential for the Giants and why I think the offense would have had more success if they had some semblance of a running game. If you get 5 to 6 yards on first down, you're facing a 2nd and 5 or a 2nd and 4. You have the option to run the football now on 2nd down. If you run the ball on 1st down and you get a yard, you're now in 2nd and long. And in order to get a manageable 3rd down, you most likely have to throw the football. You become predictable. It makes life easier for the opposition. And the reason why Dallas had success in moving the football in the second half was because look at what they would get on 1st down. If you go back to the start of the 3rd quarter and Dallas had the ball, 1st and 10. After a pass interference call on Amukamara, a pass to Witten for 8, sets up a 2nd and 2. They get the 1st down. Next 1st down, they get an 8-yard pass to Witten, sets up another 2nd and 2. The toughest test they faced was a 3rd and 10. They wound up then getting it all the way down to the 1, so they faced a 1st and goal, a 2nd and goal, and a 3rd and goal. You have options there. You can run or you can pass. Next possession for Dallas. Romo was sacked, so that put them in somewhat of a bind. But then the possession after that, they get a tuck offside, so it's a 1st and 5. Then they get a 2nd and 4. On the next 1st down, they get a pass to Witten for 6 yards. It sets up a 2nd and 4. And then they got an Austin pass on a 3rd down, which was for only 5 yards for 15. We could sit here and go over every play, but you get my point. The point is, when you get a respectable amount of yardage on 1st down, whether it be through the air or on the ground, you make a lot easier on your offense to continue to move the chains as opposed to facing 2nd and longs and 3rd and longs. And the Giants were in a tougher predicament than the Cowboys were on offense throughout the second half because they weren't able to run the ball effectively. And let's face it, you know, Manning had some hard times hooking up with his receivers. Martellus Bennett, who became somewhat of a security blanket in the first half, was not much of an option in the second half. Cruz gets hurt. So, yes, your weapons are limited, but I mean, Manning's got playmakers that can go out there. And Hickson, who I thought has been an extremely big bright spot, you know, they went to him on 3rd down, but it's all about being aware of where you are on the football field. If you need to pick up 5 to 6 yards, you can't go out and run a 3-yard route. You got to run maybe 9 to 10 yards so that you can come back and sacrifice 3 yards so that you're still in position of a 1st down. So overall, yes, the running game struggled, but to me, I would say in a bigger picture, the offense as a whole, there wasn't any continuity, no fluidity in the second half. but they got enough movement to at least get in field goal range. But a lot of that was also aided by a turnover or two that happened in the second half. Pre-game show, the two keys to the game that I threw out, I thought special teams would be a key. They got a turnover on special teams, the Giants, and who protected the ball better? It was the Giants that protected the ball better. These are trends that you see in football, and they held true today. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We go back to the lines. We've got Andrew in Ohio. Andrew, what's happening?
How you doing, man? ThankGiants.com and you guys for having me, man. I just needed to vent a little bit.
Sure.
And first of all, I'm going to say thank God for 21st century technology, man, because if it wasn't for that, we would have been walking away with the loss today. Des Bryant, you know, that was, like you said, man, it came down to fingertips. You know what I'm saying? And I've heard hearing all this talk about, you know, the run game, the run game, the run game. And it, we're absolutely right. We are lacking in that area right now. And I look back along the Giants' history of when we've been successful with the run game, and it's been when we've been able to mix it up. You know, when we had thunder and lightning, you know, when we had, you know, what they called earth, wind, and fire. You know, even when we had Brandon Jacobs and Bradshaw, man, we have to mix it up. As far as the run, I love Bradshaw to death, man. I think, like you said, he's the workhorse, but he just cannot carry the run offense by himself. I just don't personally believe that. And he's the most energetic, the most passionate person out there. You know, I like Andre Brown. I think that he can be successful, but we just got to make some better play calls, man. Me and my father talk about this all the time. We see the Giants come out sometimes and, you know, we'll be, in our own territory and we'll do three run plays that aren't successful. And then we'll throw it on third down and, you know, gracefully, we know we catch somebody, you know, but we have to mix it up, man. We have to keep mixing it up. We're awesome at the pass rush, but, you know, at the same time, we cannot get, you know, enough, blocking to get Bradshaw through. He just hasn't been successful, and it just bothers us to, you know, see Tom Coughlin, you know, bang him and try to get Bradshaw through, and he's just not successful. And then we're stuck in these third down situations where Eli has to pull a miracle, you know? So, you know, that's just this is my problem right now. Hats off to Lawrence Tynes. I'm definitely Team Tynes, man. He, like the guy said earlier, man, he's definitely MVP of the team right now, named Eli Manning. And to the defense, man, we have, you know, one of the best defenses in the NFL, and hats off to them for keeping us in the game and not allowing some of these teams who we are clearly better than, you know, get us down to the last seconds, man. It should not be happening like that. You know, we should not be coming down to the last seconds of the fourth quarter with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sorry. I just don't think that's the type of situation that we should be in with such an excellent team that we have and so many weapons, man. We have so many weapons. The games that we win are the games that we're using everybody equally. It's not just Cruz. It's not just Knicks. It's not just Bradshaw. It's everybody. Everybody on our team is good. So that's where I'm at.
All right, Andrew, appreciate the phone call. Thanks.
Oh, and one more thing, man. This game right here, man, is for my birthday. My birthday will be at 12 a.m. tonight, October 29th, so this win right here is for my birthday, man. Best present I could ask for.
All right, well, a happy birthday to you, Andrew. Appreciate the phone call, as I mentioned. And you're right, if a team gets out to a 23-0 lead, there's enough talent on this squad to certainly close the door, and the Giants didn't answer the call in that department. But getting back to the whole Bradshaw debate, now, Ahmad Bradshaw carried the load, remember, against the San Francisco 49ers. Arguably the toughest run defense that the Giants faced this season. And he had no problems. So I understand that the balance has been evident in the past, and that's brought success to the Giants, and I'm not going to argue that point. But when you see Bradshaw carrying the load this season, it's not as if he's not able to do that. And I don't think more carries wears him down. I think it has to do with a combination of his style as a running back and sometimes the inconsistency of the offensive line. They've been very good in the pass protection department. They've been very good in blocking, especially ever since David Deal came back. But you know what? Manning may not have taken his fair share of sacks today. Pass protection wasn't that great. Let's face it. Manning was pressured a lot, had to get rid of the football. I think that did affect the offense. I mean, as much as we're critical about the Giants' offense, sometimes you need to also tip your cap to the Cowboys' defense, which I thought did a nice job at getting to Manning at times. And another reason why, remember, Bradshaw is in there is because of the pass protection factor. They rely on him more so than Brown and more so than Wilson. They feel he is the best second layer of defense. If defenders get past the O-line, that Bradshaw can pick up a blitz and do it successfully because he's done that in previous seasons. That's why he gets more snaps than the other running backs. But I agree. I think Brown should be a little bit more involved. I don't know if it needs to be a 50-50 split, but you want to give Brown more opportunities to catch the defense off guard, give the defense different looks, use your running backs to their strengths, and the combination of the two in the end should add up to a successful running game. Bradshaw was the one that ended up with 78 yards today. They actually wound up in total with over 100 yards rushing. It doesn't seem like that at the end of the day because the yardage per carry wasn't great. But Brown had 21 yards, and then you had Manning for 3 and Wilson for 1. So there wasn't a lot of big game-changing type of runs. That's what was missing from this contest. If they had those game-changing type of runs, maybe you have the opportunity to put down the hammer and add the exclamation point a little bit earlier because you're able to take the clock away. See, the problem with having those 5 straight possessions where you have 4 punts and an interception, you're going 3 and out, or you're maybe running 5 plays. How much time is that taking off the clock? That's not doing anything. And that's exactly what the Cowboys wanted. You score, you give the ball back to the Giants, they give it right back to you. So it played right into the hands of Dallas's comeback, because there wasn't a lot of time taken off the clock. That was the biggest issue. It wasn't necessarily the lack of the scoring in the second half. Dallas was getting the ball back, and they weren't wasting any time. Not a lot of clock was coming off. And just out of curiosity here, and we are going to take more of your phone calls throughout the duration of this postgame show here on Giants.com, time of possession ended up with Dallas having the football longer than the Giants. 32 minutes and 18 seconds, Dallas had the football. The Giants had it for 27-42. If you're up 23-0, and I know in the first half the Giants' offense didn't have the ball a lot because the turnovers put them right in the red zone, you can't milk a lot of clock when you already start at the 20 or the 30-yard line. But if you have a 23-0 lead, once you get the football back and you have to go the length of the field, that should be when you're able to take a lot of chunks of clock off. And they were not successful in doing that. To me, it's mind-boggling that in a game in which they had a 23-point lead, they still wind up holding the ball for 5 minutes less than the Cowboys. That was also a big difference maker. You should have a big advantage in time of possession when you jump out to such a huge lead. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Lance Meadow with you here on our Giants.com postgame extra. We go to Jack in Virginia. Jack, what's happening?
Lance, credit to what you do. You always make so many great points and steal our thunder as callers.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on, I guess, what Ed said, and I guess was it Andre who was before me there, and not so much Drew. Like, Drew was talking about the defense, and he said, oh, I know, blah, 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 you know, but the defense kind of got soft. Lance, as you said, look, when your offense is either not getting, you know, the receivers aren't catching balls, or, and I hate to say this, but those refs, I mean, they were not. That seemed, some of those calls, or non-calls, I should say, a couple of times with Giants receivers, I remember Cruz with a, you know, call, had an arm bar. Another time he was interfered with, wasn't called, and seemed like, you know, a couple of Giants defensive back to Mukamara, Holsley on one. I mean, I even heard just Deion Sanders there a minute ago go, that was not pass interference. You know, that sort of got me. But again, I'm going to piggyback on what everybody's talking about with Bradshaw. And Lance, you made the point, and I understand, he's the best blocking back. The man has a heart of a lion. That can never be questioned. But it's time. It's time for some of that workload, again, to be shared. It's just getting ridiculous now. And you do make the point about, well, what about San Francisco? And you can also say, what about Cleveland? I remember the analyst on that during that game talking about how the offensive line was opening holes up that were as wide as the Grand Canyon. I think it was Aikman said something to his partner at the time, like Tom Bremen, and like, hey, you could have ran through there, Tom. Andre Brown or David Wilson needs, they definitely need to start getting some more carries. It's getting ridiculous. Ahmad Bradshaw has had injuries all his life, foot injuries, obviously. You know, he got so much of the workload in those two games that, to me, I just thought to myself, wow, this is ridiculous. If you continue to work this guy this much, that you will see a decline. And, of course, give the Cowboys credit. Of course, give them credit and a good run defense, the Redskins as well. But, like, you touched on it before. You mentioned about how, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw doesn't seem sometimes to follow his blockers. I can remember in the Tampa Bay game where it was just showed if he had just had a simple cutback. I mean, he had a wide open field. You know, instead he seemed to run into a crowd. And I just for the life of me don't understand. I don't know if it's Tom Coughlin or Kevin Gilbride, but I'm really getting tired of seeing, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw all the time. I can see maybe third downs when you need that protection, as you were saying. And I understand that. Maybe, and Andre Brown, I guess, is a better blocking back than David Wilson. But you've got to start giving David Wilson some of the carries. And you can't use that fumble as an excuse because, look, we've seen Ahmad Bradshaw put the ball on the ground himself. And I know Tom Coughlin has these veterans, you know, and the way he works. But as I said, it's getting ridiculous. And when you could play not to lose, when you keep running, you know, and putting your defense back out there, they're going to get exhausted. Big plays are going to start happening. I don't fault the defense for the most part. Maybe they could have made a couple of adjustments, but the offense didn't make the adjustments. Or, you know, giant receivers didn't catch the ball. You know, pass interference calls weren't made on people like Carr. So that's kind of where I'm getting at. It was a combination of a lot of different things. But, yes, as an offense, you've got to mix it up a little, particularly in the running game. As you said, you want to put time off the clock, that even if you don't score, you at least give your defense a rest. You cannot keep putting them out there. I don't care what defense, if you've got the best defense in the world, it is not going to be able to us to survive having to keep going out there as much as that defense did. So that's pretty much what I had to say, Lance. Thanks for listening.
You got it. All right, Jack, appreciate the phone call. And, you know, I know this Bradshaw debate is going to take on a lot of steam throughout the course of the night and even for the weeks ahead. And, you know, Bradshaw, I think, is their security blanket at the end of the day. I think number one, and I don't like throwing out this argument, but I'm going to say it, you know, they do have a lot of money invested in him, and I think that plays a role. You know, certainly not going to bench a guy that they've put a lot of time and finances into, so that plays, number one, a big part of it. Number two is the pass protection, and Andre Brown, to me, would get more carries before they throw David Wilson into the mix. And you're right, we're far removed from that fumble in week one. And what Jack touched on, Ahmad Bradshaw's got more fumbles on the season than David Wilson does because this was his second of the year. And the first one, though, on Bradshaw, it was a fluke play where he was hit by Chris Snee and the ball just happened to come out. And I don't think that the Giants are holding anything against Wilson's fumble. He's come a long way. He's shown a lot of progression in his special teams play. He's been a big X factor there, and I think they want to see him slowly develop. And there is a couple of game-changing plays that maybe they'll utilize him, but they're going to probably give more of the workload to Brown before you would see more of Wilson, and the pass protection factor is going to be a huge issue with respect to that, because I point to Darrell Scott. A lot of people were calling for Darrell Scott to get back in the mix last season, and why didn't Darrell Scott get opportunities? Pass protection, pass protection, pass protection. So David Wilson is in the same boat. Yes, he has that quickness, he has that versatility, but they are going to feel more comfortable giving Brown his opportunities. It just did not play into the hands of that today. And when Brown has run, you know, he's got three carries of 21 yards. That's 7 yards a carry. His longest was for 14. He seems to be a more patient running back. And what I mean by that is if he's got the opening, he's going to take it. He's not going to be greedy and run to the outside and look to make the flashy play. Bradshaw, at times, is not patient enough to say, you know what, I'll take the 2 to 3 yards that the hole will give me, because I know the defense is going to get worn down, and two carries later, I may get my 7 to 8 yard run. Brown will stick to the scheme a little bit more. Maybe they'll see that on videotape as the season progresses, and they'll give him more of a workload. But I'm not sold on that happening, and the reason I say that, we've seen games where the workload was about even. You know, Brown had that big game against Carolina. Bradshaw comes back, somewhat of a split, and they've also been working Brown, it seems, more into the red zone situation because of him being the bigger back, so that has been a positive. But then all of a sudden we see games now, depending on how it plays out, meaning if the Giants are behind, Bradshaw's going to get a lot of more playing time because of the pass protection. But in a game like this, when it's 23-0, you would have thought it would have been more of a split. You look at the numbers, that ratio is skyrocketing in favor of Bradshaw. And that leads me to believe that they're just more comfortable in having him out there, especially since they lean more often than not on Eli Manning's arm. And maybe there's something in practice that is not selling them on Andre Brown being a good pass protector. I can't say for sure what the feeling or what the mindset is of the coaching staff, but that may play a role. Remember, what they see in practice dictates who's going to get the playing time at the end of the day. 201-939-4513. We go to Jay in Brooklyn. Jay, what's happening?
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's going on, Jay? What you got?
Yeah, I know they win, but I just think this was a poor game for the Giants, period. And they show in the first half that if they play the way they play and get those turnovers, there's nobody in the league can play with them if they play the way they play. But that second half is a disgrace for them. You know, and I know everybody want to see Andre Brown, but I still think Bradshaw is the person who should have the carry. I know he didn't have a good game today, but I mean he has his days when he got 100 yards of carry.
Correct.
So we just got to, you know. And I think like going down the stretch as the Giants get healthier, you're going to see a defense that was in the postseason next year. I do not think Giants is going to have a letdown. And I think the next two games are winnable. And if they win those, they're locked up the NFC East division, period.
Well, I mean, continue, Jay. What else?
Yeah, because I just think these analysts need to stop crowning these teams before they even play a game before this season, because Philly, oh my God, they are atrocious.
Well, Philly did have a tough loss, and appreciate the phone call, Jay. Thanks so much. As Philly fell behind early and could not mount a comeback, they fell to the Falcons 30-17, and the Steelers took care of the Redskins 27-12. So there is somewhat of a gap. But what he was leaning towards is if the Giants do win their next two games, they'll already be at 8 wins heading into the bye. And you would assume that how this division is playing out, you may even be able to win this division with 9 wins this year, as it was last season. Because of the trend that we're seeing with the rest of the division, all 3 of the Giants' competitors only have 3 wins. And we're now heading into week 9 this coming week. And the Giants are going to have the late bye compared to all of these other teams. The Redskins still have a late bye, but I mean, the Cowboys and the Eagles already had their bye. And the Eagles, by the way, suffered their first loss after the bye with Andy Reid as head coach. They had been 13-0. So that was an interesting trend that came to an end. But I think it's a huge that the Giants, if they could take care of business, and they've already taken care of business against the division with these big back-to-back wins against the Redskins and the Cowboys. Worst case scenario, even if they split against their next 2 AFC opponents, and let's say they head in with 7 wins heading into the bye, knowing that you need maybe 3 wins the rest of the way, that takes the pressure off of the Giants down the stretch, and I think that's going to be a key difference maker compared to what the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Redskins are going to have to go through. I mean, it's now becoming a must-win situation for those teams, because keep in mind, you've got the Packers, you've got the Bears, who knows how the Lions or the Vikings are going to play out, but there's potentially 3 teams in the North that could be looking at a playoff spot. And you've got the Falcons right now setting the tone in the South. We don't know what to expect from the Saints the rest of the way. They're playing the Broncos as we speak. If they put together a winning streak, they could certainly be in the wild card mix. And the West, I think, is coming back down to earth. Seattle suffered a loss today, and the Niners may have an opportunity tomorrow night when they play Arizona to build some distance. But the point I'm making is there's no guarantee that 2 teams from the NFC East are going to make the playoffs. And that has a lot to do with how the rest of the NFC conference is playing out. There's a lot of competition elsewhere, and there's a lot of other teams that have exceeded expectations. The Bears, for example, despite all of their offensive line woes, walked away with a victory today over the Carolina Panthers. They're 6-1, and the Falcons are 7-0. So that's why, you know, everyone says, oh, the Giants are sitting pretty. You know, they're going to wrap up the division. There's still a lot of football to be played. And remember, you can't be content with just winning your division. It would be nice to get a first-round bye as well. That's why they got to keep building off of this momentum. You can't take any weeks off. I think Giants fans know that. Every fan of a team knows that. A lot could change in the span of a week or two. You never know whether an injury can happen or how another team that you didn't, I never thought was going to be in the mix can all of a sudden gain momentum. So it's still too early to say how this division is going to play out. But at the end of the day, the Giants are in a comfortable position because they're leading their division. And they now all of a sudden are back to 500 against their rivals. And that's what is the most important factor to take away from a contest like this. We go to Patrick in Chicago. Patrick, what's happening?
Good evening, Len. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We actually did win. Most of the callers appear to be somewhat down. We did win. It was a massive win. To win, then to feel like you lost, and then to feel like you won again is just a huge lift for this team. I really do believe it will stand to them because the last couple of years, they're in the second half, kind of a letdown. And now, even though they're 6-2, they will realize tonight, flying home, there's so much work to do. And they're going to go into or play Pittsburgh. And I don't know who's going to be on the field. It looked like there was a lot of injuries. They're going to get battered next week. So I do believe 10-6, guaranteed to win the East. 9-7, maybe. You just talked about Chicago. Second goal, Lance, they had two real ugly wins. But ugly wins count.
Correct.
As much as any. But actually, I have a question.
Sure.
And it's about, I was wondering if Nix is 100% healthy. He's not even attached to the player he was last year. And that's shown up, that's actually affecting the running game to a certain extent because he don't seem to be targeted. And when he's targeted, he's not coming up with the catches. I'm wondering if he's 100% healed because with those hands and with his ability, he should be dominating like last year. He certainly appears to be. A little behind. Hickson had a fantastic year today. It was actually one of his worst games because, as you said earlier, lack of knowledge of where the actual first down was. A couple of them could actually have killed the game, Lance, but and the third point is, I am not any bit surprised Dallas came back. They are so desperate, and they actually have a good team, but they are so desperate, and they were so fired up for this game. You know, they were never going to lie down, and as you said earlier, it was going so well for the Giants earlier. I do believe they slackened off a little bit and they got somewhat lackadaisic and they went right through the team. Even half time, Coughlin couldn't fire him up at half time. But at the end of the day, Lance, like I said, an ugly win turns out to be a brilliant win and this will really help us in the second half. And I leave it at that. Thank
All right.
you.
Thanks for the phone call, Patrick. And he's right. You know, you can't spell it out any differently than that. A win is a win. The Giants will take it. They're not going to go back and look back and say, wow, this was a win that we didn't deserve and we're going to cry about it and mope about it. It's a victory, and that's all that matters. And he mentioned the Bears had some real squeakers. They just got past the Carolina Panthers late today. They had a tough win against the Detroit Lions the week prior. So it hasn't been pretty. It hasn't even been pretty for the Atlanta Falcons. You know, they had some games. Remember against the Carolina Panthers where Matt Ryan had to throw a bomb down the field to Julio Jones to make a big first down to put them in position for Matt Bryant to get the game winner. I mean, there may be a couple of plays away from not being 7-0. They could be perhaps a 4-3 team. There's been a lot of teams that have played close games and have not necessarily always been laying down the hammer late. But all that matters is they walked away with the victory, and that's what I think the Giants are going to look from that perspective. And you know what? It's not a bad thing to know even after a win like this that you have areas to improve because you never want to get too content in this league. So it could be a positive that the Giants, despite getting a win like this and having a 23-0 lead, can still come back, watch the film, and you know what, say, we've got to do better with our running game. We've got to do better with our defensive assignments. We can't be content that we forced 6 turnovers today. That's not enough. And the offense has areas to improve, despite some of their success earlier in the season. That's not a bad thing. That's a factor that you can use as motivation. Getting back to the Hakeem Nix thing, I'll even take it a step further. Him not being 100% affects his ability to draw attention in the passing game, but how about the role the receivers play in the running game? That's been a topic that not a lot of people talk about. The receivers are that extra layer that gets the blocking up the field to give Bradshaw maybe a 6 or 7 yard run instead of a 2 to 3 yard run. So if your receivers are not 100%, they're also not going to be able to contribute in getting some extra push up the field. That, I think, has played a role. You can't overlook that. It's funny, Hakeem Nix, talking to the media this week around the facility, he was like a different person in terms of his personality. He wasn't on the injury report. He was able to go through practice. He talked about his knee and his foot are starting to get back to 100%. And with the way he was talking, it basically made everyone feel around the organization, man, this could be a game where he starts to show that there's nothing that's going to limit him. And part of it, I think, is the Cowboys secondary. I get back to the fact that, you know, this is not the Redskins secondary. That was number 32 against the pass. This is a top 10 defense against the pass. That played a role in limiting Knicks. And somebody even brought this up in our morning show, Big Blue Kickoff. When will Knicks return to 100%? And even though he says it, I know, you know, a lot of players try to sell it to the media. Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm back to 100%. Nothing's going to hold me back. You got to take that lightly. I don't know if there's going to be a point in this season where Akeem Knicks will be 100%. This may be an injury that he just needs to manage and ride out through the course of the year. Is he better than he was at week one? Absolutely. Is he better than he was at week three? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that he is going to say at the end of the year, or if they're fortunate enough to get to the playoffs, that, you know what, there's no lingering pain, I don't need to manage anything. I think that may carry with him throughout the course of this season. But that doesn't mean that he could continue to point to that, and the Giants can, as an excuse. There's going to be a point where he is going to be as effective as he can be. And if that's 85% or 90%, the Giants are not going to complain about that. But the positive is, Akeem Knicks is at the point where he could practice during the week. And that is something that the Giants are not going to complain about, because it's usually a good sign if your receiver, your top player, can get through a week of practice, then that means that you're not having any setbacks day to day. So that, I think, is a promising aspect. But to tell you that he will get to that top tier three-digit percentage by week 12, week 13, I don't know if I could sit here and guarantee that. That doesn't mean that that should hold the Giants back, though, at the end of the day. They have enough weapons to draw attention that they should be able to spread the wealth, and Manning should not have any setbacks in the passing game. 201-939-4513. We go to Raymond in Levittown. Raymond, what's happening?
Hi, I'm good. Like, that was a really awesome game, you know? Like, it all came down to Dez Bryant, like, his hand out of bounds. You know, I was kind of shocked on that play. But I, like, setting aside all that, I have, like, one question on Victor Cruz. He was actually complaining about a contract. Do you think he'll get his contract, like, extended by the end of the season?
Well, remember, Victor Cruz is a restricted free agent. There's not an opportunity for him to necessarily go on the market and all of a sudden everybody to just steal him away from the Giants. I think the Giants are going to do everything in their power to try to lock him up. Remember, they got to do the same thing with respect to Akeem Knicks, some of their defensive players. There's a lot of players in the mix, and you have to deal with a salary cap in the NFL. And I'm not trying to come up with excuses here. Whether or not it's going to get done before the end of the season or in the offseason remains to be seen. But I can tell you this, the Giants are not going to let Victor Cruz walk away.
Yeah, all right. That makes me feel a lot better, though.
Absolutely. Right. Raymond, thanks, appreciate the phone call. Contracts, not necessarily a top priority for the Giants. You do see them take place during the season, so it wouldn't surprise me, but Victor Cruz is not a player that the Giants are just going to let walk away all of a sudden and let another team steal him. They're going to do everything they can to lock him up. And you have to also keep in mind, you know, the Giants have a lot of leverage. Victor Cruz is a local guy. He's got strong ties to the community. He doesn't want to leave. And that is something that the Giants could use to their advantage. Not to maybe get a discount, but what I'm saying is he's comfortable here. And he has benefited from their Super Bowl run. The Giants were the team that gave him the opportunity. I think that's going to weigh heavily in his decision and the Giants' decision to come to a mutual agreement. We go to Doug in North Carolina. Doug, what's happening?
Lance, thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What you got, Doug?
As the caller said earlier, an ugly win, still a win. Really, hats off to D-line of Cowboys. They played a tough, tough game. They really clogged those holes, and their secondary played well. I actually thought our offensive line played decent. My question to you, sir, is it seemed like Manning and his receivers were off, and even the receivers seems like they weren't winning those one-on-one battles. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that certainly played a role. You know, the Dallas Cowboys are very physical secondary, and I think we had a caller earlier that said some of the non-calls that the officials chose not to bring to the forefront, maybe Dallas got away with a little pushing and shoving at times, and that's just the style that Rob Ryan's defense plays. I think the fact that they have a strong front seven aids the play of the secondary. The Giants, it didn't seem like they were winning constantly the one-on-one battles. It was a very physical game. That, I think, played a role, and I think it was also because of the scheme that Dallas ran. I think that threw Eli Manning off guard somewhat. So you have to, at the end of the day, take that into consideration. But there are times where it seems as if, you know, there's plays to be made at the sideline and Manning is overthrowing a receiver or, you know, they're not aware of where the first down marker is. That, I don't think, has anything to do with what the Dallas defense is doing. I think that's just a matter of maybe they need to work on being more in sync throughout practice, and you hope that translates to the game.
I agree. Thank you.
All right, you got it, Doug. Thanks so much. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We continue taking your phone calls here on Giants.com. Isaiah in Maryland. Isaiah, what's happening?
Hey, Lance. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You got it. What you got, Isaiah?
Okay. I'm going to get directly to it because I think we're kind of sugarcoating some things here. I have never liked this Perry Fuel scheme from the day that he arrived. This soft Tampa cover two that he runs is atrocious. This team is at its best. They did it in the San Francisco game. You saw some signs of that when they play press coverage and bump and run. That's actually what these corners should be doing. I know they've been getting some turnovers, you know, but we can't keep relying on that. They have to fix this leaky defense. We have given up, close to 1,000 yards, a little bit over, in the past 2 weeks. That has to be addressed. Every week we're not going to get to the quarterback. There's going to have to be games where that secondary can hold up. Antro Roe and Corey Webster, going back to last season, not just this season, have been blowing coverages like anything I've ever seen before. If they're not familiar with this with their defensive scheme to date, something's wrong. This is probably one of the biggest things that no one is talking about. It looks like Webster either is losing a step or has lost a step.
Well, Webster,
they're going to have to seriously consider looking at what's going on back there because something's not right.
Well, Isaiah, you also need to take into consideration Webster's dealing with multiple injuries, and I'm not sitting here and making excuses, but he's dealt with the hamstring. He also has the broken hand. I think that has played a role in terms of his effectiveness the last couple of weeks. Same thing with regard to Antrell Roll. You know, he got hurt in the Panthers game. He's still having to overcome some of those lingering issues. So that, I think, has slowed those two players down somewhat. But you're right. When they're a little bit more aggressive at the line, that comes a long way in slowing down some of the opposing receivers, and that's why they were somewhat successful against the San Francisco 49ers. Today, I think with a 23-0 lead, you can make the point they certainly got a little bit more conservative, and as a result, Dallas was able to get a lot of big chunks of yardage, and that came back to haunt the Giants in the end.
Well, okay. I can hear that somewhat, and injuries are part of this game, and I know a lot of guys are playing hurt. But what they also seem to lack on the offensive side of the ball is a killer instinct. They seem to want to take their foot off the gas when they shouldn't, and then seem to want to go conservative when they should not. I disagree with those three Bradshaw runs. You can sense it. I'm sitting here with friends watching the game, and we're all saying they're not going to get this first down. We've seen this movie before. You know, they can call a safe pass, something, maybe a screen pass, something other than what they always seem to do. Teams are beginning to figure this offense out, and if they don't become a little bit more creative and learn how to get this ball down the field with the receivers that they have, I know Nick is not healthy. And as you said with the previous call, he's probably never going to be completely 100% this year. I think rest during the offseason is probably the best fix for that. But they still have guys that can get open. But this scheme sometimes just baffles me and everyone else. They go, when it's third and one, they want to throw long. How about when you're supposed to run your run, but don't play conservative? It's going to bite this team on the butt. And Coughlin, I agree with all the other callers previously. I love Bradshaw's heart. The man runs with such a passion, but he doesn't follow his blocks. He makes it harder for his offensive line. Brown just seems to be a natural for following blocks and making an additional 4 or 5 yards by simply making the cutback or being patient. I don't think Bradshaw can carry this load. I agree with the previous callers. You don't draft a guy, number one, in their first round pick, and he doesn't touch the ball. You watch all the other teams in this league using their first round pick. Coughlin has got to stop with this seniority rule. If you can't get the job done or you're holding your team back, he has to look at other options. Bradshaw, like I said, I love his heart, and I love his blocking, but I think the whole blocking thing, is becoming an excuse. I'm not at practice. I don't see it. But how are these guys ever going to learn to be better blockers if they don't actually get out there and do it? Because blocking against your teammates in practice is not like the real thing on Sunday.
Oh, that's a fair point, and Isaiah, appreciate the phone call. But blocking against the Giants' defensive line in practice, I think, is a lot better than some other teams have to throw at a young running back. So David Wilson trying to keep JPP, Justin Tuck, and Osi Umenyiora off of Eli Manning in practice doesn't hurt. And the other point about other teams playing their first-round picks, that's fine. But look at Tampa Bay, which picked right before the Giants. They drafted Doug Martin. Who on Tampa Bay's roster did they have that was a reliable running back? They had LeGarrette Blount, who they weren't sold on being an every down back. So Doug Martin came into a situation where there was an opportunity for him to already carry the load. If David Wilson was drafted by Tampa Bay, perhaps, yes, he would be that type of running back. But Wilson came into a system and on a roster where the Giants already had capable running backs. They weren't going to just hand the reins over to a rookie. I mean, part of the reason why the Giants have gotten success out of some of their young players is because they've moved them along slowly. And I don't know if you want to throw out a running back who was not relied upon as a pass protector at Virginia Tech and now tell him, by the way, your job is to now protect Eli Manning every down. That's just not going to happen. That's the coaching philosophy with the Giants is you're a running back. We want you to run the ball and gain positive yardage, but more so, they want them to protect the quarterback. And I know we've been saying this week in and week out, but the Giants coaching staff is just not going to overlook that factor and say, well, David Wilson may give us an additional 5 to 6 yards on the ground, so we'll sacrifice the pass protection. It's just not going to happen. And I don't think first-round picks across the board have been thrown all of a sudden into the mix where they're starting immediately. Doug Martin is the guy that jumps right off the bat, because he was a first-round pick right before Wilson, and it was the right situation for him. And he's a different style running back than Wilson. He did a lot more things at Boise State than Wilson did at Virginia Tech. And Wilson was also known for his fumbles in college, which I think he has slowly corrected. And the other thing, thirdly, to throw in, if I've maybe passed the third point, maybe I've gotten to the fourth or the fifth point, they like what Wilson has been doing in special teams. And look at Hixon the last couple of years. Hixon was injury-prone because they used him as a wide receiver, and they also used him as a kickoff returner. It wore him down. I think right now they are happy with Wilson's role as a special teamer, and they'll have some individual plays for him in the running game, but they are not all of a sudden going to say, you know what, you're going to carry the ball 10 to 12 times. It's not going to happen. They are more content with having the load between Bradshaw and then Brown getting maybe his game where he could get 10 to 12 carries. It's just, it's too premature to throw Wilson out there. They want to see more production, more consistency in practice. And then when they gain more confidence, they'll throw him out there. But the positive, let's not overlook here what David Wilson brings to special teams. I think a lot of people are overlooking that. Everybody's looking at Wilson and the big runs that he's had when the Giants have had a comfortable lead and he's broken away on a big run. But what about all the positive yardage that he's given them in special teams to place the offense maybe at half the field, where they only have to go 50 to 60 yards and they don't have to go 70 to 80 yards? That's a big boost for a first-round pick to provide. Randall also on punt returns. Today he had two big catches on offense. He hasn't seen such a big role. And on offense, they have plenty of wide receivers, but nobody's calling up to say Randall should get playing time and they should be benching Hixon, Cruz, and Nix. It's the same thing. You got to go with the weapons who are consistent and have the veteran experience. And you slowly throw the rookies into the mix. But you don't have it baptism by fire where it's, you know what? Bradshaw has had a game or two where he's not really being dynamic, so we're going to now all of a sudden have David Wilson get 15 carries. Yes, I understand you want David Wilson to get some carries, but when you say you want David Wilson to get some carries, maybe he's going to get 4 to 5 carries. But the cap is going to be about there. They're not going to all of a sudden hand him the free reins. It's just not going to happen. It's not the Giants' philosophy. more often than not, they're going to lean on the player that has more experience, that's been through the grinds of football during practice, that knows the Giants system like the back of his hand, knows how to pass protect, knows how to catch the football out of the backfield. I don't know if Wilson's there yet. We go to Harvey in South Carolina. Harvey, what's happening?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Lance. I appreciate it. I want to talk about Hosley, number 28. He had an awful game tonight. Nobody's talked about him. He got burned several times, committed a few penalties. Was he in for Phillips tonight?
Well, not necessarily at the safety spot. They used him in the corner slot for the extra corner position. They moved him around. I didn't see him much at safety. They had him locked up a lot with Miles Austin out of the slot, and Austin just beat him. And at times, he was beat so many times that he just had to throw his hands up to try to draw a penalty so that Austin wouldn't drive right by him. You're right. There were plenty of opportunities for Austin to beat him one-on-one. He had a very rough game.
So what do you do?
Well, I mean, listen, it goes back to the David Wilson argument. Jaron Hosley's a young rookie, and they are throwing him out there because they're banged up in the secondary. So they don't have as many options as they have in the running game. Until you get Kenny Phillips back, and then maybe you want to bring an additional safety out to serve as that corner slot and move Roll out of the safety position. That's one option that they can go at. But at this point, they've got to play Hosley because they don't have a lot of depth at corner. I mean, Prince Amukamara had a rough game too, if you recall. He was beat down the sidelines as well. It wasn't just Hosley. The corners overall did not play a solid game. They've had some ups and downs throughout the course of the season. The safeties were out of position at times, but unfortunately they're not dragging a guy off the bench or dragging a guy off the street to be a savior overnight. I think when they get back Kenny Phillips, that will help Perry Fuel be a little bit more creative and flexible. And what I mean by that is Kenny Phillips is not going to be playing in the slot. He's going to be in his normal safety slot. They can then move Roll around more because you feel comfortable with the production you've gotten out of Stevie Brown. So Roll could maybe go back to the corner slot, which he played most of last season, and he can maybe get a decent matchup against an additional wide receiver. But until Kenny Phillips comes back, they can't afford to take Roll out of the other safety slot. I mean, they have given Tyler Sash some opportunities, but I don't know if they're at the position where they want Sash to be the every down safety.
Makes a lot of sense. I tell you, what a great win tonight, Lance. Considering we lost to the Cowboys opening night, this win was so huge tonight. I hope everybody understands that.
And a very good point, and I think that's a good way to wrap up the show, and I appreciate the phone call, Harvey. When it's all said and done, despite the inefficiencies, despite the breakdowns, despite the fact that a 23-0 lead all of a sudden disappeared in the blink of an eye, they did walk away with the victory. And if you're not a Giants fan or you're not a Cowboys fan and you were just sitting back and watching a football game, it was entertaining. And I'm sure the NFL and the league office, they're happy because it helped the television ratings. It didn't have much competition at that 4 o'clock hour. They're all smiles. Giants fans, it got the heart pumping a little. And so did last week's game, that Redskins game, remember, where the late touchdown puts them ahead and the Giants got the big play from Manning to Cruz for 77 yards, and they escaped another victory. And it just goes to show you, and this is another game that has brought that to the forefront, it could be one play just like that could determine the outcome of a game. And this is a game where you're looking at a fingertip of Dez Bryant. He stays in bounds. He keeps his momentum of his body from not going out. We may be breaking this game down a lot differently, and we may not be saying, you know what, it wasn't pretty at times, but they got the win. So that's how Giants fans need to look at this game. There's a lot of things that they could build off of, and that's the beauty of looking at film. They're going to have a lot to take away. It's not going to be all pats on the back when they get back to looking at the tape the next couple of days. It's going to be, yes, everybody enjoy the victory. You're 2-2 in the division. You're 6-2. You're atop of the division, but we got a lot of work to do. I think that's going to be the message for the coaching staff moving forward. And Tom Coughlin even, you know, alluded to that in his post-game press conference. Wasn't always, you know, bright and rosy with his complimentary tones of the players. He knows that they're fortunate to walk away with the victory. And I think that moving forward, if they work some of those kinks out, they get healthier. And as I just talked about, you gain back Canty now. I think that's helped in stopping the run. The pressure has been more evident. That's been well documented. You get Kenny Phillips back, perhaps. Now you see the level of production in the secondary take a step in the right direction. That's what you hope. You hope that Phillips can do for the secondary what Canty has done for the front seven. And I'll take it back to last season. Remember what O.C. Umanyora's return did for the whole Giants defense. His return coincided with everybody clicking and them going on that run right to the Super Bowl. You know the rest of the story. I don't need to rehash all that happened late. So when you get a key player back, it could be the difference in becoming an inconsistent team from one week to the other or being a solid team that could separate itself from the pack in the NFC. Are the Giants there yet? No. But they're in a position to get there if everything falls into place in the weeks moving forward. And I think, you know what? The Week 11 bye could be a blessing in disguise for the Giants. Last season, they had a very early bye. I think it was Week 6. Maybe went 3-2. They got past the Seahawks or the Bills win, and then they went into the bye, if memory serves me correct. I don't have it in front of me. And then all of a sudden, it was that long grind. They went on that four-game skid. They weren't really had that opportunity to rest a lot of the bodies. Now they're going to have, after these two AFC opponents, two solid weeks, get everybody healthy before you get to that stretch run, which is very tough. Not that the opponents right here are a walk in the park, but a late bye could help the Giants in this season compared to what they had to grind out last season. That's just something to keep close tabs on. But the Giants walk away with a victory, 29-24 over the Dallas Cowboys. It was a 23-0 lead. I think a lot of Giants fans were sitting back saying, you know what, they're going to be in cruise control. This is going to be a comfortable win. It wasn't that so. It wasn't like the Carolina Panthers game where they got out early and they rode the momentum the rest of the way. It was a squeaker. They had to really get out there and make a play here and a play there to hold the Cowboys off guard and walk away with the victory. So they improved to 6-2. Dallas and Philly 3-4. Washington 3-5. Next week is also a 4 o'clock start. So it will be Pittsburgh and the Giants back home. We'll have our pregame show start right before 4 o'clock, so make sure you tune into that. Same script as always. We'll have our full pregame show. We'll take your phone calls leading up to kickoff. We'll be with you between every commercial break during the game, halftime, and postgame. We'll take your phone calls once again. Want to appreciate all the phone calls for chiming in. Really, you guys and gals make this show what it is, so really appreciate your thoughts and your insights throughout the course of the season. Continue to bring that each and every week as we will be with you here on Giants.com next week for the Steelers and the Giants. We normally have Big Blue Kickoff tomorrow morning where John Schmuck joins me. We continue to break down the game, take your phone calls. Unfortunately, Sandy and Mother Nature throwing a wrench into things, so we're not going to have Big Blue Kickoff tomorrow morning because of some safety issues within the area. No guarantee that there's going to be a Tuesday show. Keep close tabs on Giants.com. We will continue to keep you up to date when we resume normal programming. I would say Wednesday is probably the likely date to target, assuming Mother Nature cooperates. But they'll continue to post post-game reaction from Dallas and some of the shows that they continue to have on a weekly basis. So there will be continuous coverage here on Giants.com. Just maybe a slight interruption in our normal programming due to Sandy. Everybody's got to weather the storm. They got to enjoy the victory, but now they got to get home, and everybody's got to get through the next couple of days, especially for those of you on the East Coast. So stay safe for those of you who may be affected by the storm over the next couple of days. Enjoy the victory, Giants fans. We'll see you next Sunday. Giants and the Steelers as they look to build off this 29-24 victory over the Cowboys, and they improve to 6-2. Special thanks to my producer, John Vasquez. I'm Lance Meadow. We'll see you next week.